end of 19, but talk a little bit about what I'm doing, because it will be a backdrop for what I'm speaking on Psalm 105. And if you want to hear more, please do come along on Wednesday evening to hear about what I'm doing, because it's different from what I was doing last time I was here. I've said Chad Chat because that's the name of my the prayer letter I put out. If you'd like to receive news for me and you don't already do so, there is a sign-up sheet there. I'm told we don't have pens in church these days because we don't want to transmit COVID, so I hope you've got pens with you. Otherwise, speak to me and I'll put it on my phone. It isn't working. Oh, I know why I didn't turn it on. Should have had more sleep last night, shouldn't I? Oh, alhamdulillah, as they say. Praise the Lord in Arab. So, this just shows where I am, which is in the east of Chad. And you can see the arrow at the north is where I was last time I came, a big town in the center of the region. And then I moved 130 kilometers to the southeast in February of last year to work with a particular group of people that in AIM literature we have called the Neem, just so that we maintain a bit of anonymity, one might say. So that's where I am. You can see Sudan is to the east, and South Sudan to the south, and then Central African Republic and Libya to the south, to the north, if you wonder where Chad is. I'm going to show this video which talks about some of my work, not all of my work, and that is with the mentally ill. Pay attention to some of the details of where people live and how people live and how they dress. Rather shocking film if you live in this country, and sadly fairly normal in that country. People with mental illness who cause disruption are tied up or chained up, as was Bilal, that young man. And tears did indeed come to my eyes when I saw him in one of those little roundhouses, naked because he tore his clothes, tied with his feet at one end and one arm tied at the other side, and a hole that he'd made with his movements. And praise God, he is no longer psychotic. Praise God that he is free, not tied up. But sadly, this young man is deaf. He got measles when he was 10, and he is completely deaf. And he doesn't really know any sign language apart from a few gesticulations. And he seems to get by, but he certainly doesn't communicate, and it is difficult to communicate in any detail with him. The people who made the film didn't understand that. So it is impossible, really, for me to speak about Jesus to him. Pray for Bilal that God might speak to his heart and his mind, even if we can't speak to him. I don't only do medical work, I also go out into the community. I'll talk more about the medical work on Wednesday. And this is a lady I've called Faye. And she illustrates a bit some of the challenges of being in the community because she's not entirely educated, very little educated, in fact, and she's a very nice lady and we're friends. But sometimes you think, well, the communication is difficult because she is so different from me. And this is illustrated by the fact that her little daughter, Anne, named after me, is very thin there because she was getting artificial milk, which they didn't know how to make, and they didn't know how to clean the bottle very well, and because she believed that her milk was bad for reasons I'll tell you on Wednesday. And fortunately, after a time, she realized this was impossible. And that was Anne 4 months later. So praise God for that. But I do go out in the community because I want to tell people about Jesus. I also work with the church. There's a little church of southerners, so people from the south of Chad who've come up to work, and they meet together on a Sunday. And this is the women's group that I try and encourage. We are having a day of, or several hours of prayer for an evangelism that will take place in December. Not a very clear picture. That is the house, thank you very much, that you helped build for the pastor. Their house was falling down, basically, and they were worried that it would fall down in the rainy season. So on the left is Celine, the wife of pastor, and on the right is Pastor Jeremy with the motorbike that you bought for him so that he can get out and about talking about Jesus. And so thank you very much for that. That was part of your support for me this year. And again, I'll tell you more about the church and the people I work with on Wednesday. Thanks for praying. I keep on forgetting I can look over there. Materials. There are some materials out at the back to help you. Magazines. These are from AIM, entirely free, very good magazines. This is an edition which was talking about praying for women in Africa. Interesting stories about Africans and expatriates working as single people, as single women, as married women in Africa. So do please have a look and pick one up if you're interested. There's also a prayer book, Praying for Women, one prayer a day for a week, which you can keep on praying for many women who are in positions of leadership now in Africa and need our prayers. If you'd like to receive the magazines, you can sign this form. There are some children's Junior Connect, which are very good. I would recommend you, if you have children from, I think it's 7 to 10 or something, or if you have grandchildren of that age, do go and have a look. They're excellent magazines. I forgot to bring one up with me. And then if you send off for receiving them, you can get a lovely map of Africa. I'll just show you as Chad is here. So this is a map with information about different countries that AIM works in and doesn't work in Africa. So please do look at the materials afterwards. And then you can sign up for my prayer letter and take one of these cards to remind you to pray. If you've got a bad memory like me, that'll hopefully prompt you and give you some more information about my work. So now I'd like to read from Psalm 105, which is our reading for today. If you have Bibles, telephones, tablets, please do open them. I don't think we put Bibles out sadly anymore, is that right?
We will soon.
Good. So Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. I'd like to pray again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that encourage us to speak out. And I pray that you will help me as I speak to speak your words, and that you will help all of us to listen to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Chad, there are 72 unreached people groups. That is groups usually of their own language where there is not a viable witness to Christ. And that's really why I'm in the east of Chad, because I felt called to reach one of those particular groups. AIM's vision is to reach these groups and to plant churches all over Africa. And so when I was reading this psalm in my morning devotions one day, I was caught by this statement, "Make known his deeds among the peoples." Very important. And we see in these verses several other commandments that can help us as we seek to make known the deeds of God among the peoples. The psalm is addressed to the people of Israel. If you continue in the psalm, there's lots of stories about how God has acted amongst the people of Israel. But it says in 6 that it's directed to the offspring of Abraham, God's servant, to the children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And Abraham is called the father of faith. He believed in God, and God considered him righteous because of that. And so in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, those of faith are sons of Abraham. And then again in the New Testament, Jesus talks of choosing his disciples. They hadn't chosen him, but he had chosen them. And this theme continues in Paul's letters. He talks, Jesus, about the elect who God chose. So although this psalm in a way is to the Israelites, but it is also, I believe, to us and has words for us that can encourage us in our faith and our walk with him. And so we have these commandments. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Sing to him. Sing praises. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice. Seek the Lord, his strength and his presence continually. And remember his wondrous works, his miracles and his judgments. As I said, this psalm recounts many wondrous things that the Lord had done for the Israelites. I wonder for you today what wondrous works you would remember in your life that God has done in you, through you, in the lives of others that you've seen them. How would you tell the wondrous works of the Lord to others? We've sung a lot today about God's faithfulness, and we will be singing again about how he has saved us, how he has released us from the power of sin. And I think those are some of the works that we can praise God for, can't we? I'm certainly not the same person that I was 40-something years ago when I became a Christian. He's changed me, he's helped me, he's enabled me. And I pray that you can say the same for yourselves. Maybe today isn't a good day, but when you look back, you can remember his wondrous works, his miracles even, and his judgments. And so we have sung, and we will sing, who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. Amazing grace, unfailing love. We fall short, aren't we, of our own standards often enough, and certainly we fall short of the standards of God. But he has promised us that through Christ, we can receive forgiveness and cleansing. And so we say that God has broken the power of sin. And I can testify, as we will sing later on, he is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. And we also remember his judgments, not just what he's done, but what he has said to us. What has he told us about how we should live? In the Bible, we have the great gift of seeing what God wants us for us. As they say, when in doubt, look at the instructions. God has given us instructions to know how to live at peace with the world and at peace with others. And so it's a guide in a way that the world doesn't have. As I come back from Africa, you see every time the standards have changed, really. And so because of these things, because we remember what he has done, because we know his judgments, we have seen his work in our lives and the lives of others, we thank him each day. And we praise him as we praised him this morning, and we can praise him each day. We talk of our relationship with him, but also praise him for what he's done. And we glory in his holy name. His holy name is synonymous with who he is. So we glory in God. I looked up glory in the dictionary just as an interesting exercise, and it says, rejoice proudly. So in a sense, when it says, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, it's repeating itself. We should rejoice in God. Rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit. And we can be proud because God is our Father in heaven. Jesus is our Lord, and the Spirit is our enabler. I compare this with the women I work with. Full of fears, fears of the evil eye, of sorcerers, of spirits. I don't know if you noticed, the lady with baby Anne had an amulet around her neck, and the baby had an amulet around her wrist. And that's to protect themselves. They're often doing things to protect themselves because they are afraid. They have no assurance that God is with them and can protect them. They're also rather afraid, I think, of community pressure. You know, what will other people think of me? They have to be together. And that might be the same as here. Maybe we would say we're not full of fear of spirits, but we do have fears in our lives, don't we? But we don't need to. As I said to my friend Zamzam, who died of HIV and was afraid that she'd been cursed, you don't need to be afraid. You could have Jesus at your side. They don't know the one who breaks the power of sin and darkness. They cannot say, as we will sing later, no fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. They cannot know that. They work for it, they fast in Ramadan, sometimes other days. They pray 5 times per day, reciting words they often don't understand, just because they think that's what I should do. But with no connection with God. They want to be the same as other people. They want to do what other people are doing. And I think I could say that some don't seem to have much thought for God, really. They haven't, the women particularly, are not sent to the mosque. They don't go to the mosque unless they're older for special days. They don't often get taught about the Quran, so the idea of God isn't very strong in their thinking. They're just, some of them, caught up with survival. How will they feed their children and themselves? How will they clothe their children? Will they be able to send their children to school? Often not. They look for security in marriage, the women. Marriage is not something where love is very much in evidence. As far as I can see, they're arranged marriages, and there's not much communication between the man and wife in many cases. And they want a security which is not firm, and so there are divorces. And there are people who just go off for years on end. Balal, free and yet still deaf. Still, unless Christ has spoken to him in his heart with no knowledge of Christ. And I think the same could be said of many of your friends and neighbors. Is that not so? Many people around us here in West Kirby, at work, at play, in schools, in colleges, they have no knowledge of Christ yet. Many are as far from God as the women I meet in Chad. And that is why we make known his deeds among the peoples. I was thinking how, you know, the typical picture of somebody who's just fallen in love, and they're always talking about the person they love, aren't they, and wanting to tell other people how good he or she is. But even simple things like, I found a good deal in the supermarket, have you been to? Or I've got a good book here, have you read this one? Oh, I went to a beautiful place the other day. We tell people about good things, don't we? Do we tell them about Jesus? We know this God who does wondrous deeds in our lives, and he would do them in other people's lives too. It's much more serious for them if they don't know that good deed, that good thing, than if you just didn't miss the supermarket deal. We need to speak out and make known his deeds amongst the peoples. It's an instruction for us all, not just for people like me who are missionaries or people like Louise who's a pastor, elders maybe we might add in. It's for all of us. Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations, go. He has the whole world in his hands, God, doesn't he? But he has given us that responsibility to be ambassadors for Christ. As Paul says in Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Maybe you're feeling inadequate to speak. And I confess before you now that for many years I was the same. Sometimes I would think, oh, you know, you can teach Christians, they're more likely to listen. But speaking to other people, they might reject me. They might recognize the doubts that I have sometimes in my faith, or I have certainly had in the past. Maybe they recognize that. Sometimes I think it's just that we compartmentalize our lives. We speak about God when we're in church, maybe with Christian friends, but not always that even. But when we're with non-Christians, it doesn't come up, does it? And I can testify, since I've been here, I often mix with Christians, but I've had a few contacts with non-Christians, and on occasions I've spoken about God and just asked a question, do you believe in God, or do you go to church? And it started a conversation, and people have thanked me, to my great surprise. They say, oh, people don't talk about it, do they? And they don't talk about it because we don't talk about it. You may be afraid, but this psalm has the answer for us. It says in verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. That's how we can have the power and the words that we need. If we read the Bible each morning, that God can speak to us and can give us the words that we can later speak to other people. Pray. That's how we seek God, isn't it? Pray and ask him to lead us, to open the way. Ask his guidance. Tells us to call upon his name. We know that if we call on God, he will answer. We have many promises to that effect. We call on a God who is power and love combined. He has many such promises for us, that he will give us that power, that he will show his love in us, that others can recognize it. Personally, I pray in the morning, particularly. I mean, I pray it many times, really, but I certainly pray in the morning and read my Bible. And particularly on a visiting day, some days I'm in the hospital, some days I'm out visiting, I ask God that he will bring me opportunities to speak for him, of him. And on occasions, it's just been amazing that it's just happened, as we say, that God has given me a reading that morning, as I read through the Bible in a year, he's given me a reading that morning that is particularly appropriate for the circumstances that I find myself in. So ask for opportunities and have those antennae out to recognize them. Open your mouths and say something and you're on your way. It's that first saying something, isn't it, that can be difficult. And don't be anxious beforehand. He has promised his Holy Spirit and thus his strength. So Jesus says, don't be anxious beforehand about what you are to say, for it is not you to speak, but the Holy Spirit. He was talking about when his disciples would come before tribunals. But surely it's applicable to witnessing too. Sometimes we feel, don't we, that we're a bit on trial, or God is on trial, and we're the witness for him. And I do believe that God prepares people's hearts. Jesus says in John 10, maybe you'll be talking about it tonight, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, for they know his voice. pray you will meet these people, that God has prepared their hearts. That lady Faye with her baby Anne, she was a language helper for me, and one day she said to me, I hear that Jesus raises people from the dead. Can you tell me about Jesus? That was a Muslim lady, and she's now a Christian. An author, I was reading a book called Tactics, which I would highly recommend, talking about how we can ask questions to get people thinking. And he talks about wanting to put a stone in somebody's shoe, putting them off balance. People sort of are content, aren't they, in their lives, and they don't think about God. They don't really look outside the material things around them, the friendships. But this person says, we can put a stone to start with in people's shoe that they might think. And that might be the first step in coming to know Christ. People often can take a while. And he also talked about looking out for the sheep who raise their heads because they've heard the voice of Jesus. And those are the ones that know Jesus. So let us pray to be speaking out. Because as evidenced by Bilal and the women I talk with, there are many people who need to hear, both in the UK and overseas. May God guide you and show you how you could be involved, going out yourself. People start young, they start old. Maybe you can send others as you have sent me. Maybe you can pray for others as you have prayed for me. Maybe one of these days you could be a missionary in this country even. But what is important is that we speak out the wondrous deeds of God. Ask God to open doors to conversations with those around you. And do not be anxious, but call on God and seek his strength and his presence. As I said, open your mouth and say something just to stimulate a conversation. Maybe they won't be interested and you can move on, but maybe they are. Maybe God has prepared their hearts. And remember all he has done in your life and praise and thank him and tell of those things to other people. Our personal testimonies are very effective. And maybe you don't know that joy of forgiveness in Christ. Maybe you don't know that relationship with God that some of us have. And if so, please talk to me or Louise or Colin over there or many people here who do know that. It's a precious gift, and we'd love to tell you more about it. May God bless you.